Bread Podcast, a podcast where we talk about all things embarrassing. I tell my embarrassing stories. Katie tells hers. You tell yours. We tell yours. We're here to laugh with you and cry with you and cringe with you and fall over with you and bring some levity to your day. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Katie.
Let's turn be red.
Well, I think we'll skip the how was your week this time because it has been quite a time between the fires and the 20th of January to now. Mm-hmm. It's just been quite a time. And Mary Kate had to evacuate.
She's
in Pasadena and she has been in Chicago. So we had to skip a couple weeks of recording. Thank God she's okay and her house is okay.
And you're okay.
And it is, we're sad for our city collectively, you know.
You know what I wanted to say though is that I'm so grateful to be from here and I'm so in awe of how people are helping each other and they're resilient and they're selfless in this time. And I've seen it. I've seen people lend themselves in a way that is so grounding and so makes me really happy and feel so hopeful for the future.
Yeah.
And I'm just really grateful. LA is such a beautiful place to be.
It's a beautiful town. We love it so much. And it has been really beautiful and inspiring to see the way that people have come together to help each other in this, you know, horrific time. And there is a lot of hope. There's a lot of hope for the future and, you know, how we can grow from this, you know.
It just seems like in all the divisiveness that's happening, it's nice to see firsthand that it's not that way. It's not that way in my community. It's not that way.
It's not the way here.
Yeah. It shows you what can be. And I'm really grateful to be able to see that here. It's awesome.
Me too. We love you, LA.
We love you, LA. Now we're going
to
tell you some
a love letter
crazy
to
stories.
LA.
I wanted to make these stories. Like, I wanted to pick the stories this week that were extra special so that we can
extra juicy.
Know, yeah. Reach our hands out and high five you.
get right into it.
From across the miles.
Yeah. We hope that you are surviving in this insane time as well. And we are sending out all of our love to any and everyone who has been affected by any and all of it.
Yeah.
Like, to be honest.
Yep.
It's a time. Well, we want to provide some relief for you.
Well, yeah. And you need to know that we're a safe space because we are people who believe in human rights and we believe in equity and we believe in a humanity where all are welcome. So
yes, you are. This is a safe space.
We're going to tell poop stories from everybody. Any walk of life, we got your poop stories.
That is true. Yeah. But we do hope, honestly, a goal from starting this podcast from the beginning has always been, as we say, to bring levity to your day and to hope that we can be a little point for you to escape and check out when everything is looking very discouraging and glum and scary. Yeah. Like, we hope that we can be a safe haven for you to escape that and to just laugh for a little bit and, you know, check out with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And period. It's,
yeah. Would you say you're it?
I said period.
Oh, you're it.
Tag, you're it. What do you have to say?
You're it. Yeah.
So, yeah. Do you want to start?
So with a story?
Yeah.
You know I do.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, let's hear it. Let's do this. I got some crazies. I got some crazy emails this week.
I love some crazies.
Crazy emails. Okay, so this is from Levi in Arkansas, and he writes, I was the best man at my best friend's wedding. I'd known him since we were little kids, and he was another brother to me. We both come from big families, so there were a lot of guys going out the night before the wedding. We all went to a bar we love and got hammered. I mean, just shit-faced drunk. It was a great night, but no one had the sense to cut it off or tell the groom to go get some sleep. Waking up the next morning was like being dragged out of a pool. My head was spinning still as I put my suit on, and the groom looked worse than anyone.
Ugh, that's the worst.
Can you imagine?
Why does that happen so often, though? No, it happens all the time.
Why don't people do it like the week before?
Yeah, that's
like, go out and get your like willies out.
Yeah,
Don't get your willies out.
Pull your willies out. Don't pull anything out.
But just go have some fun.
Yeah, I don't know why people choose to do it the day before.
I do think that's very strange and bold.
You're not gonna feel good. You're not gonna feel great. Might make some questionable decisions.
Also, I don't want my fiance like saying his vows with some whiskey breath.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, anyways, so we packed ourselves full of eggs and bacon, drank pickle juice. Is that a thing?
I thought that, well, I guess it does have like electrolytes, right? Like people say now, I still haven't tried it, but it's supposed to work really well for period cramps, apparently.
Pickle juice?
Yeah. And for cramps in general, like muscle cramps, you're supposed to drink pickle juice. I've heard that. Yeah.
That works. I have muscle cramps every single day of my life. And even drank another beer right before the ceremony. Not a good idea. You're just going to drink a beer before you... What?
Hair of the dog.
Smooth is not the way I'll describe the wedding. My best pal, the groom, looked green right before he went to stand before the altar. Standing next to him, I noticed he was sweating. Leaning towards him, I said, "Hold on, buddy. You've got this." Then he burped. I knew what was coming next because I'd been hungover with him 1,000,000 times. And I said, "Nobody, if you need to get sick, just go do it, but you can't." And before I finished my sentence, he threw up.
Oh, God.
All over himself.
No.
In front of everyone sitting in that church and God. His throwing up made me throw up.
Oh, no.
All over myself.
Oh, no.
I did that thing you do when you try to hold back the barf with your hand, but the force of it just blows the chunk sideways around your hand.
God.
I'm not kidding when I say we made a mess of that wedding.
Double barf. Can you imagine? The altar. That is terrible.
That's also so terrible.
Is she walking down as this is happening?
No, I don't know. So it says, but first of all, can you imagine? Everyone, your grandma is sitting there like, "Oh, you're gonna get married." You know, like there's your friends, your family, everyone's just like expecting this beautiful ceremony and you barf in front of everyone.
And if you don't say you're hungover, then it looks like you just have wedding jitters and you don't want to marry that person.
What you want. Oh, so you don't want,
you're like, if I'm barfing before I marry you, they're like, "Don't do it. Your body's like, telling you it's a bad sign."
Is she cool? Yeah, it's like all, it doesn't look good for the bride.
It's not good either way, but you have two pukers up there.
Yeah, so they're both covered in barf.
I like to imagine that she's walking down the aisle and she's just about to get to him. That's
so they had just arrived at the altar. So anyway, he wrote, "They had to pause everything while we went to change and recuperate. Our moms came rushing down the aisle all dressed up and had to clean up the area. And God knows the bride was furious, waiting to come down the aisle on her wedding day only to learn her fiance just yacked all over the place." I learned later she was crying so hard she had to get her makeup redone while we were cleaning up.
Aww.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
She cried her eyes out. And then she had to get her that's terrible.
She cried her makeup out.
She cried her makeup off. Can we make that a t-shirt for merch? I cried my makeup off. Okay, so the wedding was delayed an hour, and after moms rushed to stores to buy new suits and bring them to us, my buddy said, "I do," and began his new life. I will admit that I felt for his wife when the reverend told him to kiss the bride. All the toothpaste in the world isn't going to get that smell out.
I hope he brushes his teeth when he changes his outfit.
That's the first of that kind we've had, but that's a good one. I mean, Levi...
I mean, it doesn't really get more embarrassing than that because that's all your family and friends staring at you. You are the focal point. Like,
there's
everyone
a videographer.
There's a videographer. There's photographers. There's everyone in your friends and family staring at you, and you barf all over yourself. And then also the friends who's telling it's their viewpoint is also mortified because they've barfed on themselves too.
Yeah. Yes. That friend, the best friend. And they're like, "We're in this together." But also it's their fault. You cannot tell the groom. You have to cut the groom off after two drinks and say, "Go home."
He got ripped a new asshole after the
definitely.
Definitely. Honeymoon was nonstop.
I was going to say there was no sex that night, probably. Yeah. Just like he's hungover. Come on.
Yeah. It's pretty funny, though. Okay. So this next story comes from Eric in Seattle, and he writes,
"Whoop, whoop.
When I was in my 20s, I was friends with a girl I worked with, but I had a huge crush on her. We worked in cubicles that were across the office from each other, so there wasn't much of an opportunity to flirt, but I tried to talk to her at lunch as much as I could. Aww. One day, I know, One day I decided, fuck it, I'm going to ask her out. On our lunch break, I asked her if she wanted to go to dinner that weekend, and she said yes.
Yes.
I was so excited. I wanted to impress her. I picked a nice restaurant, got dressed up. I even got my car detailed.
He was going for
He is going the extra
mile.
I
like a good detailed car
when it pulls
up to my house.
I picked her up and she looked gorgeous. We headed to the restaurant and things were going great. We got seated, ordered drinks, and I excused myself to go to the restroom. I used the bathroom, washed my hands, and made eye contact in the mirror with a gentleman as he came out of the next stall. I gave him a nod and acknowledgement, dried my hands, and went back to join my date. As I sat back down, the server dropped off a loaf of sourdough with our drinks. I asked my date if she'd like some, and she said sure. I cut the bread, holding it steady with my hand, and gave her the first slice. As I was cutting the second slice of bread, the man I made eye contact with in the bathroom walked up to our table and bent down to my date's ear and said, loud enough so that I could hear it, "Just so you know, he didn't wash his hands in there," and
Are
walked away.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me right now? What kind of psycho comes out of the woodwork and says that to your
date?
What was the motivation for
I
that?
I was so stunned. I didn't know what to do. I didn't even say anything to him because I was so caught off guard. He didn't laugh or say he was kidding. He said it deadpan.
That's a psycho.
And walked away.
That person has murdered someone in the last 24 hours.
My date looked at me shocked. And then looked at my hand on the bread.
No,
and then looked at the bread on her plate.
Get out of here.
Then my verbal diarrhea started. I told her how it wasn't true. I was actually a neat freak and I'm super clean. And then I insisted she could smell my hands and I shoved them in her face.
That's not good.
I made it weird. She said she believed me, but she didn't eat the bread. And the rest of our conversation was awkward.
What is this? The Germ Cafe? Like, what is this nightmare?
We didn't go out again. And to this day, I wonder if she told everyone in the office that I don't wash my hands in the bathroom.
Who in the hell did that? That is a crazy person.
I know. And he actually did wash his hands.
I would honestly, okay, what would you do in that situation?
I mean, I get being so shocked that you can't even respond because I've had that happen before where, like, you know, 1 minute later, you have all the best comebacks in the world.
Yes,
but, like,
yes,
in that second, so stunned because you're like, wait, what the fuck?
What would you want to do?
I would be like, what are you doing, dude? Like, what are you talking about?
Get up and follow him to his table.
Yeah.
And then I will look around at everyone sitting there and I would say, just so you know, this guy you're sitting with is a psychopath and just ruined my day. Okay.
I mean, it's pretty bonkers.
And then I would probably like take a bite out of their food.
Then they're like, is he the psychopath?
Are you done with this?
Is he the psychopath? They're like, I rest my case.
I would smear it on his face just so to see if he was a germphobe. Because who does that?
But he did wash his hands. That's the thing. He clearly stated, I washed my hands. I looked in the mirror at the guy coming out of the stall. I acknowledged him. I shook my head in acknowledgement, dried my hands, left, and went back and sat down. So the guy saw him wash his hands, and he obviously just wanted to fuck with him. Maybe he liked the girl. Maybe he was hoping for a chance. Like, because you
That's
know people.
That's crazy.
People do that occasionally where they try to slip numbers on dates, you know?
Yeah. So, actually did happen to me one time.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. Someone came raced after me and gave me his number. Only time it's ever happened. And I had clearly been on a date. I felt good.
It's bold.
I was like,
oh, yeah.
Thank you. I'll take that.
So maybe he was hoping to just, like, you know, get his
chances
gone.
But that is just terrible.
It'd be one thing if it was like an actual joke and he laughed, but that's still a terrible joke. It's weird, but you don't know this person at all. But it's bizarre. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to be wondering about the motivations for that all night.
I know. And he never said anything to him. And that was it. He just, like, ruined the date, ruined the future, and just went and sat down. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably some kind of thing he does. Like, you
he's
know,
an
shoplifting.
He's an embarrassment demon.
What if he just, like, you tried to track him back to his table and he just, like, dissipated?
Mm-hmm.
I think that those exist.
He probably did.
I think that embarrassment demons exist. Yeah. They come around and they're like, and you're falling down the stairs. And you're pooping your pants.
Yeah. Yeah, pooping your pants. It's happening. So, yeah.
That was good. Okay, yeah. Should we continue? Okay. So, this is from Bart in Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
Bart Simpson. Bart Simpson, tell us your story.
Here comes Bart Simpson's story.
All right, great.
There's no last name, just so you know.
Of course not.
He didn't write a last
Bartholomew?
Name.
Bartholomew, let's hear your
Bartholomew.
Story.
Bartholomew, wow, that's a good one. I like that name.
Yeah.
Don't abbreviate
that's
Bart.
Yeah.
Just Barf. God, that's, yeah, no, definitely go by Bartholomew. People will call you Barf. Okay, the first year of college is an exciting time for many people. Newly found freedom leads to self-discovery, experimentation, and a wide variety of new and interesting experiences. My first year was no different. After the initial awkwardness of acclimating to a brand new setting and brand new people, I eventually found myself with new friends in a place I was quickly growing to love. One of those new friends was David. David was a year older than me and was into all kinds of cool shit. Obscure Italian synth pop, John Cassavetes movies, and postmodern poetry.
Mm.
He also had a penchant for experimenting with psychedelics.
Nice.
Nice. One fateful Tuesday night, he decided to take a tab of acid while we were all hanging out in my dorm room. My dorm building was co-ed. In general, he was pretty mellow for most of the evening. Honestly, you probably wouldn't even know he was on anything if you were a casual observer. Being a Tuesday and all, everyone else decided that we'd pack it in around midnight. David said he was going to go wander around. Mildly buzzed, I fell asleep. About an hour later, I heard a blood-curdling shriek from the other end of my dorm hallway. A bunch of people threw their doors open to see what was going on. I opened my door just in time to see a naked, mud-covered David come barreling down the hall. As he ran past me, however, I caught wind of a horrendous stench.
Oh, no.
It wasn't mud.
Oh,
it was shit.
No.
Somehow, in his drug-addled mind, he had decided that it would be a good idea to strip naked, cover himself in shit, and then climb into bed. Unfortunately, he went into the wrong room and climbed into some unsuspecting girl's bed, naked, covered in poop. Can you imagine?
He covered himself in his own poop?
He covered himself in his own poop. And then,
so he like pooped into his hand and smeared
it. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. It could be somebody else's poop.
Oh,
he found poop and he rubbed it all over his naked body and like got into bed with somebody. Isn't that disgusting? That was the last time I saw him.
Yeah, that would be a blood curdling scream for sure.
I would never, I would like have to transfer schools. I would be like, or I would get like four locks like a New York apartment.
You got to throw all your stuff out that he touched.
Can you imagine?
With his little poo body.
It's David's story, but I feel like that Bart needed to tell it. David's never going to come forward and admit it. But yeah, crazy.
What happened to him? It didn't say.
So it says, that was the last time I saw him. He took a Greyhound bus back home the next day and was, of course, promptly expelled.
Yeah.
Why take a tab of acid on a Tuesday? That's what I want to know.
Because it's college.
But why would you do that? I've never done it. But like, why would you?
I haven't either. But to be fair, because it's college. That's
why.
Because
you're just like, let's
because
just do
you
this.
Can, because you don't have, you know,
you don't have
a parent supervising you. And
you do have a parent, like, maybe paying for your college.
Yeah. Or
maybe you're paying for
but
it.
They're not like on top of you. You
right,
know?
Right, right.
So that's
right.
The thing.
Yeah. It's experimentation.
Experimentation nation.
Leads to poop covered naked bodies in your bed.
Don't do it.
don't do
acid.
It.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first. Okay, so next we have a caller. Her name is Emma. Another one that I found on TikTok.
Emma!
I love these TikTokers. They are so good. Her handle on TikTok is Emma, E-M-M-A, dot J dot Walton, W-A-L-T-O-N, Emma J. Walton on TikTok. And she's funny. And
I cannot
thought
wait.
This story
I love these
was
stories.
Hilarious.
Yes.
So yeah, let's call her up.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Emma. You're
Hi,
on with
Emma.
Katie and Mary Kate of the Beat Red Podcast.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're great.
We're doing well. So, we are so excited to talk to you. So I know your story. Mary Kate does not.
I cannot
so she gets
wait
to blind
to hear
it, which
story.
I love, along with everyone
goodness
else.
Thank you for doing this. We're so, I love this
it
so much.
It cracked me up. So yeah, whenever you're ready, you can get into it and tell the world your story.
Woohoo.
Okay. I swore I would never tell anybody this story. So this is actually crazy for me.
Yes.
Like, I swore I would take it to the grave.
I did that with several on this podcast in the first episode where I tell the story of when I shit my pants in public. So those were all going to be to the grave stories. And you know what?
And this
it's
is
freeing.
Why we're here.
It's freeing. It feels good. Yeah. When you get it off your chest, you're like, oh, you know what? It's not that bad. And it's
you're
actually
like,
really
so
funny.
So I peed on stage and had to run out of the whole production. Who cares?
Who cares?
So excited to hear it.
I just hope nobody from my middle school ever listens to this podcast.
Let's hope. Where are you from?
I'm from Omaha, Nebraska.
Oh,
okay,
nice.
So do we have any Nebraskans out there? I don't know. I don't know.
I really hope not.
It'd be so funny.
We're so excited.
Okay, so I guess I'll get into it.
Yeah.
Okay. I went to a middle school, and it was fairly decent sized. I would say there were about 150 kids in my grade.
Mm-hmm.
So it was decent size. And they leveled it out into like three different groups. And so one group was the really smart kids. One group was the average kids. And one group was the kids who probably should have been like held back. I hate to say it.
The ABCs, but, as they call them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. We had those as well. The ABCs. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I was in the average group and I was put into this ancient civilizations class. And it was a bunch of the other average kids. And I spent like all of my time with these kids. Like, mm-hmm, we were in all of the same classes. It was basically like elementary school, just going to different classrooms.
Right. Okay. Awesome.
So we were all pretty like close.
Okay.
And one day we had this test and it was like the teacher made a huge deal out of it. Like, anybody who talked was sent to the office. Like, nobody was allowed to make any noise. So it
That's
was
fun.
So quiet in that room. And Oh my gosh. Let me just preface this with
I am
my mom.
So excited, by the way. This is going perfectly. I cannot wait to hear the dead silent classroom. Oh my gosh. Okay. Yes. What were you saying?
Let me just preface this with my mom the previous night had made red beans and rice.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
And I love red beans and rice.
It Who doesn't? Really They're delicious.
Good. Delicious. Don't ever regret that.
My stomach, on the other hand, does not agree. And so I was so unbelievably gassy that day. It was so horrible. Like, I almost made myself sick from trying to hold in the gas.
Oh, no.
Oh,
and
no.
So this ancient civilizations class was very last. It was the seventh period of the day. And I was literally I was watching the secondhand click on the clock, waiting for the bell to ring to go home. And so we were all sitting in the classroom taking our test, and I dropped my pencil. And without even thinking, I reached down to pick the pencil up, and the loudest, like, wettest sounding fart came out. And it was so horrible. It was so horrible. And my face turned red. Everybody in this classroom started laughing. And
I cannot stop laughing.
It's mortifying.
So it was a perfect
storm. It doesn't end there. It doesn't end there.
Oh, no.
It what doesn't. Oh, my God. This story lives on in somebody else.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
I looked around this room. Nobody, like, fingers hadn't been pointed yet. And so everybody was laughing. So I started laughing because I, like, wanted to remain inconspicuous. I didn't want anybody to know it was me.
Okay.
Like, I had the look of shame on my face. But I wasn't admitting it was me. I laughed with them.
Yes, that's and what you do. You just try to blend in.
This poor kid behind me, sitting in the desk behind me, his face got really red. And I'm guessing it was because of the smell, because it was bad. It was so bad.
You blasted and him.
It was so bad. Everybody started blaming him.
Oh, no.
I was mortified, but I still wasn't going to say anything.
Of course not. You gotta let him take that blame.
Yeah, you gotta stand off to the side.
This kid was the smart kid. Okay. He was the one that everybody copied their homework off of. Everybody looked on, like, his desk to see if they could see the test answers.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
And he was known for tutoring people.
Okay.
So everybody started calling him Tutor.
Oh.
And not T-U-T-O-R, T-O-O-T-E-R.
That poor guy.
It was so bad. Like, the teachers even started calling him Tutor.
They didn't.
Like, because he's smart. No. They didn't realize what they were actually calling him.
They're like,
and he's still to this day called Tutor.
What? Even on
like
his LinkedIn profile?
Never listened to this podcast.
Tutor. Oh, you mean they call him Tutor? Like, they're like, oh, remember when Tutor, like, farted in class? They still, like,
they're calling the class was calling him T-O-O-T-E-R, but the best part is the teachers started calling him Tutor, yeah, too, because they were calling him T-U-T-O-R,
oh,
thinking that's what the students meant, but they were calling him, like, farter, like, and they were, then the teachers were doing it too, so they had everybody calling this poor kid Tutor.
Yeah.
And he didn't even do.
Like, oh my God.
It wasn't even him. It was me.
Oh, you know what? Do not look. People
it's
do
the
that.
Best.
You don't stand up for, you don't come
in
forward.
In middle school?
No way.
Absolutely,
yeah, no
not.
Way.
You got a gift from God, like, that day. You got
you.
I was like, I think that was like the one moment in my entire life where luck had actually been on my side.
Yeah, because that could have been the end for you. You could have been Tutor forever. And he
I had to
live with poor Tutor. He's still Tutor. He's still Tutor, huh?
I'm glad he didn't say, like, you know what? I know where that sound came from. And
yeah,
it wasn't from me.
He didn't try to deny it. He just took it.
I don't know why he didn't say anything. I don't know if it was because he was embarrassed or if because he would have been like,
maybe he farted
worse for him, or maybe like, I think he was going along the lines of like, they're going to make it worse for me if I deny it.
Right.
That is so funny though.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm sorry too. The bend down to get the pencil, like, you're almost clear. You see the second hand ticking. It's almost like you're almost out of there. And then you just,
there was like 10 minutes left.
All the pressure.
I only needed 10 minutes, and then it just ripped.
It just ripped.
It's so funny. But middle school, yeah, there's no way anyone's owning up to that. You got to keep your mouth shut and keep it moving.
Just keep it moving.
And never eat red beans and rice again.
If anybody had figured out it was me, I would have forced my parents to move to the middle of nowhere.
You're like, can I be homeschooled?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I would have started letting the polar bears teach me science.
So did he take, he took that into like high school tutor? Like that stuck with him? He was just tutor.
Actually, I think he like took it and ran with it because it kind of made him a little popular. Like it's his name on like social media now.
Tutor
and team members.
It was so horrible. I feel horrible that like that's what he's known as now, but like it's also kind of like a blessing in disguise.
He embraced it.
That's hilarious. Right. He uses it as his social media.
He was known as like that guy
that rips him in class. He doesn't give a fuck. Like,
I think it's hilarious because like he's gonna have like a full life where he gets married and has kids, and his wife is gonna call him tutor, or his friends are gonna call him tutor, and they're gonna like
little toots. He's gonna have little toots.
To have little toots.
Exactly. Oh my god!
It's so funny. You started that, and he to this day, no one knows that that could have been. You know that was
he,
you.
Like, went to prom with like some hot. it made him popular.
Saved him. It would have destroyed you, but it saved his life. It's pretty great.
Oh yeah, no, I don't think my self esteem could have handled that.
No way. But it's so iconic. I love this story.
I started digging the hole for my day, like the second that bell rang.
Literally. I love it. Emma, thank you so much. Emma. That was hilarious. Oh, we love it.
You made
our
day.
I gave everyone your TikTok handle. Do you want to add any other information to it? Do you want to say anything else?
Go ahead and follow me. I want to be famous.
Follow her on TikTok. Emma J. Walton. She's hilarious. And thank you. We love it. And yeah, have an amazing rest of your day, Emma.
Have an amazing weekend, Emma. Thank you.
Yes, you too.
Thank you. Okay, bye. It was so funny, right?
So funny. In middle school, it was always about when you had people were holding your legs and you were doing like the sit-ups that you just, everyone ripped.
Yes.
Hard. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Or people had like really stinky shoes and you had to just put your hands on there. You know, we talked about those in earlier episodes, I remember. But we know there's more of those classroom ripping ass stories.
I have to bend down to get this pencil and then it's just like your butt's up and you just fart.
But also, how did no one make that correlation that right when she did that is when it happened? You know, like that's pretty wild.
The smell was like around him because she blasted him. You know what I mean? She threw it away.
She threw it away.
And it landed.
But I love that he took it and ran with it. He has his social media name. He's like Tutor Forever.
Yeah, he's like, my name's not Gavin. It's Tutor.
Tutor 91.
And I'm going to Princeton.
So funny. It's so funny.
That's so funny.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, that was awesome. All right. This is from Paul in New York. And he writes, I was going to a job interview and just before I left, decided to relax by jerking off.
Oh, okay, Paul.
I guess that's a thing. I don't know. I was like trying to figure that out. It's probably something, right? If you're really nervous about something, you're going to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. After I was done, I felt less nervous but couldn't find my load. Where was it?
What?
I looked all over and finally just had to go. I wondered where my cum was the entire subway ride to the interview.
Oh,
mentally,
my God.
Mentally preparing for the interview took over and I completely forgot about it as I entered the building on Broad Street. This was a huge deal for me. If I got this job, my starting salary would be $100,000. My life in New York would be made. I'd meet sexy girls in the Hamptons on summer weekends. I'd blow all my money at the best bars. All of this made me smile as I waited in the lobby with a bunch of other guys in suits. Then I heard my name. As I got up to walk into the interview, I checked myself out in the mirrored pillars of the lobby. To my horror, I saw on my right pant leg an enormous, pasty white streak that reached from the front of my mid-thigh all the way around to the back of my leg.
Wait, he jerked off in his suit?
Yeah.
That was stupid.
He jerked off in his... Right about ready to go, he's like, I better take care of this. And he's like in this beautiful suit.
What?
Yeah. I guess that's what happened.
That's really funny.
But also, I guess I don't want to even like think about it, but like, I mean, I guess you couldn't miss that if it was just like you know, if you just like weren't thinking about maybe it was winter and you had a coat on, I don't know.
Where was he? I'm so confused.
He was in New York and he
no, but I mean like where in his house was he?
I mean, I don't know.
Like, where?
I did not
like,
follow
why
up.
Why didn't he take his pants off? Like what?
I think, why I don't know. He, I'm where, not what a was guy. Gonna, I don't know. I know. If I'm guys like, are just well, like, let me just whip it out real quick.
But usually isn't there like a sock or like a some kind of rag situation to catch it?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he's the kind of guy who just like bare hands it.
Shoot it into the toilet in the shower. Like, come
toilet.
On. I don't know.
You shoot it into the toilet.
I don't know, but it's bizarre,
that's like the
right?
Least sexy but thing shouldn't I can there imagine.
Shouldn't there be something? Like you're just in a suit, just free handing it, just hoping who knows where like, it's gonna go.
So just even thinking about
what room are you in?
He was just thinking about the crime scene investigation of that. Like it shot out of his hand and like shot somewhere in his apartment and he's just gonna go out
that's
back
what
and
I
find
mean.
It later.
Where,
that's what he said. He said I looked all over for it. I couldn't find
like,
it.
Like what okay.
But meanwhile, okay.
So I don't know. Tell us if this is normal. I feel
can
like it's not because I feel like there's normally like something to catch it with.
I agree.
Unless
I mean,
you're like in
the
shower.
Way
like,
to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even know. Yeah. Guys, that let's hear some more embarrassing stories from guys like that.
Yes. Tell us about your jizz day.
Okay. So it says it looked like a giant tidal wave, just a crest of dry, crusty jizz.
Gross.
I had to go into my interview like that. An assistant was waiting to show me in, and there was no time to clean that blinding white streak off my leg. I heard you talk about an embarrassment blackout on a Beat Red episode before, and that's what happened. I could not tell you how the interview went or what I said, only that I left and never heard anything.
I would say a bird shit on me when I was walking in.
You can't
in.
Bring it up, though.
No, you have to.
You
that's
have to just be like this. Like,
no, I think I would be like,
like,
oh my God, a bird just shit on me when I was walking into the building.
If there is a man across the desk from you, that man knows what that is. You know what I mean? That man's like, oh, I didn't notice that before, but now I realize.
This is bird
shit. You jerked off in your suit? Where were you in your apartment?
I just
why
ate
did you take your pants off?
Melted Danish with the icing got all over me. You gotta
okay.
You gotta think fast, right?
You gotta say, I work in a bakery and I had to leave my shift to come here. But like before I did, I dropped the frosting.
A load of icing all over my leg. That's what happened. Just,
I don't think we've ever heard a story like that.
No,
but
we
I didn't. Yeah, I didn't follow up.
Very. Yeah, get the details on that. Ask where they were.
I'll write now, like a reflection.
Yeah.
Email back to him.
I think that's good.
Give us a little bit more details.
Okay, my next story comes from Alex from the Cup of Joe blog, and she writes, so back in 2013, I dated this guy for like a year. One of the first times I was ever over at his house, he jumped in the shower and I waited around in the kitchen. Well, suddenly I have to poop.
Okay.
Like now.
Yep.
There was no way in hell I was going to knock on the door and be like, yo, I'm groundhogging. Get the fuck out.
Groundhogging. What is like,
groundhogging.
It's gonna come
the poop
out
is right there. It's coming. It's out the door. I love it. She says, yo, I'm groundhogging. Get the fuck out of the shower. I barely knew him. Now, I consider myself to be extraordinarily resourceful in times of desperation,
This
incident was no exception.
Look out, trash can.
I scan the kitchen and see a sizable stock pot perched on top of the cupboard.
No, you don't.
It's my only hope.
That is something that he cooks in?
Like, I'm sweating at this point.
She's gonna poop in his
pot. I grab that bad boy and decide I'm going to take a cosmic shit in it.
Oh, my God.
I do this dude a solid by lining it with a superstore bag, okay? I'm not that primitive. I'm like, bleh. I hope you threw the entire thing
away. I
hope
he walks out of the shower and finds her doing that because, like, he's never going to know when he's going to cook, like, chili in that.
Yeah, chili. Oh, God. I'm going to interject here and implore you to imagine the intense stress of not only having to shit like your life depends on it, but also the sheer pressure of the time constraint I was under.
He could
have
walked
in. What if dude comes out of the bathroom, which was attached to the kitchen, I might add, and sees an essential stranger in his house taking a crap in his stock pot?
That's a horror, horror movie. What would you do?
I think I would leave the apartment. I mean, I would rather try to go shit outside than shit in a stock pot in front of him in the kitchen.
Was it like winter? Could you poop in the snow outside?
Did she say it's cold?
I don't know.
No, she doesn't say.
I'm
I don't
imagining
know.
Like Fargo right now. Like just like poop.
I'd rather poop in the snow than poop in a stock pot, to be honest.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm doing my best to shit with the speed of light. You'd have thought it was the first dump I'd ever had in my 20-something years, given the sheer size. I should mention, it's the middle of winter. Here we go. I tie the bag and panic for a moment about where in the fabulous fuck I'm going to dispose of this poop. I bust open the kitchen back door and channel my inner Babe Ruth. I yeet that poo. I yeet that poo across the yard and into the alley where it slams into the neighbor's fence and rests peacefully on the snowbank, along with any shred of dignity I had left. I scrub the stock pot with the hottest water science has to offer and put it back on the shelf like nothing ever happened. Guy emerges moments later from the shower, none the wiser.
Okay, whoa, she got away with it.
She got away with it, but I'm like, you didn't wipe your ass.
Yep.
That's where, or maybe she got some like paper towels. Like
your underwear is just skid marks.
Maybe she got some paper towels and she shoved those into the bag that she used. I hope.
I don't know. I just can't believe she did that.
But I'm sorry, none the wiser. He thinks you dropped the biggest fart of your entire life because he comes out there and you just like,
you pooped.
Blasted an insane amount of shit into a
stock pot. It's winter. You're not opening the windows.
I mean, it had to smell so bad. Like he had to come out and be like, ugh. Jeez.
And then it's even ruined anyway. You know what I mean? I mean, although, what if he emerged mid poop in the stock pot and he sees that?
And he just slammed the door back. He pretended he didn't see. He actually saw the whole thing. And that's why they didn't have a second date.
That's why she never came over again.
She's pooping in my stock pot. This is madness.
Oh my gosh. I just want to see that neighbor being like, I got a shovel my door. What the? You know what I mean? Like, what is this bag of
human shit? A bag of human shit.
Yeah.
Massive human shit.
Starts a neighbor feud. It's like, oh, they never liked me. I'm gonna throw my shit at them. And like, just like a big shit storm.
a literal shit storm in the middle of winter.
That's a really good one.
I know. I thought it was ridiculous, but
it's crazy. Well, I have one more.
Let's hear it.
Let's do it. This is from a man in New York named Samuel. And Samuel writes, my now husband and I were newly dating. He took me on one of our first dates to go horseback riding in Brooklyn. So when I read that, I looked it up. There's this place in Jamaica Bay in Brooklyn that is by the water that you can go horseback riding on. Because I was like, Brooklyn, that's like urban jungle. Like, what are you talking about? I was nervous because I'm a little scared of horses, but it was a really romantic idea and I didn't want to ruin the date. My husband looked gorgeous on his horse, like a cowboy about to wrangle some steers. Our instructor was a few inches behind us, and we were all alone on a beautiful trail leading to the sand and overlooking the Atlantic Ocean, our horses casually guiding us along. When we got to the sand, my horse started acting strange, and the instructor said, if that horse wants to lie down in that sand, just give him a good kick. He'll keep going. But he does love to roll. Roll what?
No.
I've been on a horse one other time in my life, and now I'm matched with one that wants to get down and roll in the sand. Sure enough, my horse goes down on his hind legs, and the instructor yells, kick, kick. And my husband's yelling, honey, kick, kick. And I realize in slow motion, as the horse is going down into the sand, that I could be crushed if he rolls over onto me.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't kick. All I could do was slip my feet out of the stirrups and throw myself to safety by diving headfirst into the sand. I was laying there on the ground, covered in sand, as my husband dismounted his horse and ran to me. I was so embarrassed, but also relieved that at the same time that I wasn't flattened by the horse.
You should not take a horse on
Can you imagine,
trail,
Katie, though? Like,
that
imagine
likes to roll. Like,
we're on a horseback riding adventure.
I love horseback riding, but that's so dangerous
and
scary.
But you see me, like, just fly off my horse and, like, land in the sand.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Is it face first? Are you
face first.
Yeah. No, it's definitely embarrassing.
Crazy. It's embarrassing. But
and
I mean,
it was
so
it just
random.
The two of them, or it was like a whole, it was a group of people?
I think it sounds like it was just the two of them on that with an instructor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that instructor, I mean, you got to get a different horse for that.
You got to not let that horse go on those walks.
Or he should be riding that horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then he knows how to do it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But no, he probably didn't want to get rolled on either.
Yeah, he's like, you get crushed.
He's like, I am not dying today.
You take that chance. I'm not doing it.
Right.
Wild. Okay, I've got one more.
Okay.
This last one is from Kate, also from the Cup of Joe blog. Such a good one. And she says, I've got a whopper.
Yes.
I was 15 on a mountain climbing trip in Wyoming with a group of friends and some seriously cool young adult guides. Looking back as an adult, I would never have the patience to lead a group of teenagers into the mountains. I'm like, me either. That's crazy.
No way. Me neither.
I got serious altitude sickness our second day after ascending quickly. No. We had an 8-mile hike that day, so the group divided up my pack and went on ahead. I slowly brought up the rear, retching along the way. Poor God, thing.
That's terrible.
By the time I finally made it to camp, it had already been set up, so I blissfully passed out on a rock. We were so high up, we were past the tree line. I woke up 2 hours later feeling much better, but a bit sunburned on my cheeks since I had completely forgotten to put on sunscreen in my sickly stupor. I didn't think much of it then, but the next morning I woke up and I couldn't open my eyes.
What?
Yeah. When I went to touch them, I hit my cheek about an inch before I was expecting to hit it.
Oh no.
Feeling my face, which was painfully hot to the touch, it became very clear. I had indeed been ridiculously sunburned, and my dehydrated body at an unfamiliar altitude had responded by bringing all the water in my body to my face.
That's so scary.
It was huge.
Yes. So scary.
Angry, red, and swollen beyond recognition. So she looked like a giant tomato head. Just like swollen, huge, puffy gopher cheeks.
That,
like,
is hilarious.
Yes. And you can't even open your eyes. Like, that's horrifying. Yeah. And you go to touch your face and it's like massive.
The next day? Oh, that's so scary.
Panicking, I escaped my tent and ran to the nearest tree to do my morning business, nearly hyperventilating as I considered how I was going to face the rest of my friends, which of course included my then crush.
Of course.
As I was doing my business, I heard a hissing sound.
No, you don't.
Looking around, I saw a chipmunk in the tree staring right at me and making noises no chipmunk had the business to make. Much to my surprise, he flung himself from his perch and landed right on my foot, launching me into a screaming fit that led me to escape as fast as I could with my pants around my ankles.
That is humiliating.
I'm like, is this Caddyshack? Like, this is like a ridiculous scene.
Oh, no.
I stopped abruptly when I heard someone say, "Whoa." Looking up, I realized my mistake. I had run headfirst, pantless, into a camp of Boy Scouts.
No, no.
Mortified, I tried to quickly recover and escape, telling no one of my shame. But later that morning, after we packed up camp, we had to hike out through the Boy Scouts camp. They all pointed and said, "That's her. That's the one with the face." And I had to explain to my friends, who were already in stitches over the status of my incredibly swollen face, of the greatest shame any teenage girl has ever known. I've never felt such utter mortification. It's cured me of shame for life.
That's amazing. That is a whopper of a story. It's like the trifecta. It's like your face gets bloated.
First of all, she puked on the way up. That's number one.
Right.
You're already puking in front of your crush and your friends all the whole way up the mountain.
Your eyelids are swollen shut because you have a tomato face.
You got a tomato face.
And you go to the bathroom and you run into Boy Scouts with your pants down.
You got attacked by a chipmunk.
You got attacked by a chipmunk.
You got attacked by a chipmunk. You ran out of there screaming with your pants down into a boys' camp.
Yep.
Screaming with a swollen face, your pants down.
Gosh.
And just nightmare.
I just picture that swollen face. And I think that's so funny.
But it is very much a scene from a movie. I'm like,
it really is.
That is seriously.
I feel like all these material could be their little tiny shorts. We should have a Beat Red Tiny Short Festival.
We should. Somebody make those for us. Okay.
Okay. Produce them in.
Somebody
we'll
get
there
on that and make those for us. We're looking forward to watching those. They sound really
Spielberg,
funny.
Scorsese.
One of you. Yeah. One of you. I mean, one of you that's like not that
whoever,
busy right now.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. We'll take whoever.
Yeah.
It's fine.
You're good. You're talented.
Yeah.
We know you can do it. Thank
you can
you
do it. That's our show.
Yay!
We hope you loved it. If you did, please tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn Beat Red, you can email us at beatredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy us coffee, you can go to our Patreon page, which is linked in our show notes. And if you can't beat them,
join us. See you next week.